The sermon text today comes from the letter called 1 John. This is very near the end of the entire Bible. If you're looking in your Bible for it, you want to look that maybe the easiest way is to find Revelation, which is the very last book, and then just dial back a few pages, and you'll get to 1 John. It's just 5 chapters long. We're going to read today the entire first chapter and a couple of verses into chapter 2. It's just one column of text in this short letter. And it's a tremendous letter. Actually, it's worth reading all the way through from start to end, those 5 chapters. You can do it in about 15 minutes. It's not very long at all. But it's a powerful letter and has some very good material in it that talks about the nature of love and what it means to be in relationship with God. So I'd encourage you to read the whole letter sometime if you have a chance this week. Of course you do. You have 15 minutes here or there. Find time to read it all. But here are the first several verses of this letter from 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in prayer? O Lord our God, we give you thanks for this tremendous atoning sacrifice that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Purify us from all sin and help us to walk in the light as he is in the light, as he is the light. And on this day of light, when we have light streaming in through our open windows, we pray, Lord, that your light would fill our hearts and help us to live as you would have us to live, that our joy might be made complete as we reflect on this word together. Bless this time of encounter with you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this day. I don't know if it's the sunshine or your smiling faces or something, but it's just good to be at peace with you and to be here in this place. Amen? It's good to be here today. We're beginning a new series today, this week, a series that focuses on the international ministries that we support as a congregation. This series will take us from today all the way through the day of Pentecost, which is coming up in a few weeks' time. Pentecost, as you will remember, or will remember by the time we get there, because I'm going to keep reminding you of it, Pentecost is the day when the church was birthed, and many nations, many people groups heard the word of Jesus Christ for the first time, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the gift of languages that were given to the disciples in Jerusalem there, They spoke in languages so that people could hear the good news of Jesus, and then the word began spreading through all nations. So, in preparation for that day, we're going to look at the various international ministries that we support as a congregation, or as groups within this congregation. And today, we're looking at the Ivory Coast, a nation in Western Africa, on the southern edge of Western Africa, if you can envision what Africa looks like. There's a large, Africa's really huge, right, as a continent. And within Africa are many nations, and this nation, the Ivory Coast, is on the southern edge, the Atlantic coast of Western Africa, as you're looking at the map that way. My goal through all of this, as we look at the Ivory Coast and at Kenya in a couple of weeks, and at Guatemala the week after that, is that our eyes will be open to what the Lord is doing around the world, and that we will be challenged to become more involved in these ministries in various ways, to pray for the folks who are involved in these ministries, to become more aware of political and religious issues that are going on in these parts of the world, to communicate, if you're so led, with the missionaries and other people that we have contact with in these parts of the world. There are ways to do that. Pretty amazing ways, in fact, these days. And even if you're so led to give financially to these ministries. Each of these things that we support as a church, we support financially in one way or another already. But if you'd like to give above and beyond that, of course, you're certainly welcome to do that. Each week as we go through this series of international ministries, we're going to add a flag to the decoration in our sanctuary. We have two flags that have been here for some time, our American flag and the Christian flag, and we're going to add to those flags these flags of the Ivory Coast and Kenya and Guatemala, right? Almost slipped in my mind, don't know why. And those flags will stand as sort of permanent reminders of our connection to these ministries around the world, so that we will have our eyes opened and our minds broadened to think about God moving not just in our land, but across the lands, as the song says. A fundamental truth of the Christian faith is that all of us are missionaries. Not just overseas, in the Ivory Coast, for instance, today, or in Kenya or in Guatemala, but even here in our own land, or wherever we find ourselves as Christians, we are missionaries. We are sent on mission to spread the good news of Jesus, to be the hands and feet of Christ, to serve those who are in need in his name, wherever we might find ourselves. What that means is we are not truly at home here. Although it's good to be here in the house of the Lord, at home with each other, we're not truly at home here because we belong with Christ. Our true inheritance is with Jesus Christ. In the meantime, until we find ourselves in his presence forever and ever, should he return before we die or after we pass away, in the meantime, we will serve him wherever we find ourselves. So today we turn our attention to the Ivory Coast. Côte d'Ivoire is its official name. It's French, a French-speaking land. The official language is French, Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast in English. Some 24 million people live in the Ivory Coast. Fair number of people there on the southern edge of Western Africa. In previous years, it was home to many tribes, many individual nation states over the centuries. It became a French colony as Europe scrambled to colonize Africa, which is part of our world history. The French claimed Côte d'Ivoire, named it as such, and made a nation out of it in the 1800s, and that's how French became the official language of Côte d'Ivoire. In the 1900s, it was actually 1960, the Ivory Coast became an independent nation, became independent apart from French colonization. It now stands as a republic. It has its own president, a prime minister, many of the governmental things that we would recognize, since we are a republic too. I'm just giving you some background information about the Ivory Coast. We'll get to the missionaries who were there here in a minute. The main exports of the Ivory Coast, this is kind of interesting. The two primary agricultural exports of the Ivory Coast are coffee beans and cocoa beans. That part of the world is really good for growing those two things. Now, do those two products ring a bell for you from things that we've studied in previous weeks, perhaps in the season of Lent leading up to Easter? Does that coffee beans and cocoa beans, does that lend itself to reminding you of something that we looked at as a potential problem in our world today? Hershey's, oh my. They do something with chocolate, of course, right? Not so much with the coffee world, but yes. And what about Hershey's and other groups? What happens? There is an issue around human trafficking, specifically around the harvesting of coffee beans and cocoa beans, and many other products too. This happens in the Ivory Coast. It happens in lots of places, not just in this nation. But one thing we need to be aware of is that when a country exports things that we love to eat and drink, the potential is there for children and other people to be forced to pick those beans by hand for long hours, for little pay, especially children, this is not good. That's a reality of our modern world. So while we celebrate the coffee and cocoa that we receive from the Ivory Coast, we need to be aware, we need to be careful about how we consume. I'll just remind you of that. In any case, the Ivory Coast is a place that has been afflicted by civil wars over the past 15 years or so. There have been religiously based civil wars. The Ivory Coast is a very religiously diverse place. It breaks down into about three-thirds. One-third of the population is Muslim. One-third of the population is Christian, mostly Catholic within that group. And then the last third is either unaffiliated at all, that no religion whatsoever, or they practice any of the many African tribal religions that their ancestors have practiced for many centuries. Very religiously diverse, and this has led to a good amount of conflict, especially in the past 15 or 20 years. Right now, today, things are pretty stable in the Ivory Coast. We don't hear about them in the news so much today. They will have, however, later in this year, or in the fall, a presidential election. And when we have presidential elections, they're not really violent. They take up all of our mental space for about 18 months, Lord help us. But we don't have to leave the country for fear of our safety. Missionaries in the Ivory Coast tend to leave the country for a little while around the time of the election because there tends to be some unrest. So remember the Ivory Coast in the fall, October, November, because that's when the next election will be. And we'll see how that goes. We have two missionaries, a missionary family, and their young son, who are in the Ivory Coast now serving as missionaries with the Church of God, and we as a congregation support them. We have a share in their ministry. Their names are Bobby and Jenny Meisel. Their son, Moore, is about 2 years old or so now, and he's toddling around and doing all sorts of wonderful things. Life is very interesting for him because he's learning to speak many languages all at the same time. Bobby and Jenny Meisel are about Tara and my age. They're in their early 30s, right? Early 30s still. Mid-30s, all right. And Moore is a couple of years old. Bobby is from India. His native language is Khasi, C-A-S-I, Khasi, one of the languages that is one of the people associated with the people group in India. Jenny, of course, is from here, from Michigan. She grew up as a pastor's kid here. She speaks English. And they've had to learn French as the native language of the Ivory Coast. So here, Moore is, growing up as a two-year-old, learning to speak English from his mother, Khasi from his father, and French from everybody else. And they said to me the other day, Jenny and Bobby said to me the other day, that as Moore is trying to sort out all these languages in his young brain, he's at the point where he's just picking the easiest word to say. Doesn't know what language he's saying, but whatever the easiest word for dog is, he says it. You know, and in that case, I guess it would probably be dog. But if it's rhinoceros, it's going to be something probably different. You know, so he's sorting these things out. It must be a lot of fun for them to watch. As they are serving there in the Ivory Coast, Bobby and Jenny are in very real terms putting this passage from 1 John into practice. We proclaim to you what we have seen, so that you also may have fellowship with us and with the Lord. We know that if we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and give us relationship with Him. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not just for ours, but for the sins of the entire world. In a very real sense, the measles are putting that very passage into practice. This is an important passage of Scripture for us because it talks about what Christian life is really all about. It's about how to make joy complete in our lives. To make joy complete. So many people in our world, so many people in our community, even people in this very room, have trouble knowing what it means to have complete joy. What does it mean? What would it look like to have complete joy? So often we are left to wander in darkness and despair, wondering where the light is. But there is good news in this passage. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. The good news of Scripture is that even in the darkest times that we find ourselves, God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. And because of our relationship with him, we can have fellowship with him and with each other. And a little bit of light can go a really long way in brightening up our lives. This is good news for us. The Christian life is all about relationships that are healthy and all about proclaiming the truth of Christ to a world that is desperately in need. A few weeks ago, I had a Skype conversation. That was one word. I kind of hiccuped in the middle of it. Skype conversation with Bobby and Jenny Measel, the missionaries over in the Ivory Coast. This is an amazing time for us to be alive. Can you imagine? Maybe you've had this experience. Sitting down in front of a computer. What's a computer 50 years ago, right? That's a thing that would take up this whole room. 50 years before that, it was you sitting down with a pencil and paper. You were the computer, adding numbers. But now you have a device that you can hold in your hand, and in real time, you can talk with someone who lives on the other side of the planet. We take it for granted now. But it wasn't that long ago that that was just unbelievably impossible. I had this Skype conversation with Jenny and Bobby, and I asked them lots of questions to find out about what their life is like and to learn more about what they're adjusting to. I asked them one question, though, that I got a few interesting responses from. I asked them, what's the most challenging part of your ministry there? What's the hardest part of being in Cote d'Ivoire? And they gave a few answers to that. One was, by the way, you're going to see a clip of that video here at the end of the sermon. Don't worry. Okay. We have technology, and hopefully it'll all work right. But to give you a little peel back the curtain for them, what's the most challenging thing for them? They said, first, it's adjusting to life in this new land, adjusting to a new culture, adjusting to a different kind of place. It's very complicated. There are things that they have to learn how to do, such as learning which meat to buy at the meat market so that they don't get sick. There are certain meats that they need to stay away from because maybe they've been out too long or it's something that's going to disagree with their systems. It's the little things that they're having to learn. How to wash their clothes. Isn't it good to have clean clothes? You stick them in the washer. Well, it's not quite that easy. How can they wash their clothes so that they don't get worms in their clothes? This is what Jenny said. I didn't ask quite what that would mean or look like. I thought, I hope you learn how to do that well, because that doesn't sound very pleasant, you know? It's the little things, right, that they're having to adjust to. It's very complicated. Another answer that they said to what's most challenging about their life there is raising Moore, their son. As a missionary kid, it's very challenging for them. The language situation is very complicated for them. Eventually, he will be a trilingual child. Can you imagine? He'll probably learn more than that as time goes on. But raising him as a child who's living in, I guess, his fourth culture now. Mom, dad, home, wherever that might be, here in the States, I suppose, and now in the Ivory Coast. He's going to be a very cosmopolitan young man when he grows. It's a challenge to raise a son anywhere, let alone in a place that is very different from where you've each grown up. But the thing that they pointed out the most as being absolutely most challenging for them was the difficulty of building healthy relationships with other people that they can just be friends with. Here they are, two people who are far away from each of their original homes, in a place where they know very few people. They know the other missionaries who are there with them, Larry and Leanne Sellers, other missionaries from, they're native to the United States, they're Americans, and have been ministering in Cote d'Ivoire for a number of years, decades. They've been there a long time. But beyond that, they don't know anybody going into this. I mean, they're starting to build these friendships with people, but they're finding it very difficult to find friendships with people their own age. They live in a sense of isolation. They're in a very culturally different place. They don't know the language that well. They've learned it, but it's not a native language for them like it is for everyone else there. And over the past few weeks and months, they've been visiting the various Church of God congregations. They've been doing a lot of traveling. In Cote d'Ivoire, there are about 16 or 17 Church of God congregations scattered throughout the country, and they're all in various parts, so you might have to drive an hour or 2 hours or even up to 5 hours, they said, is the furthest away. And the roads are sometimes in decent shape and sometimes really very not in decent shape. They were talked about potholes. We joke about Michigan potholes swallowing your car, but literally, and I mean this literally, there are holes in roads that can your car goes down into and it might come up out of it on the other side, maybe. The driving is very treacherous in different parts of Cote d'Ivoire. They're meeting lots of people and they're making very meaningful friendships, but it's very slow going. And they're feeling kind of alone at times. What's going to make it more complicated for them is that Larry and Leanne Sellers, the other missionaries who are there with them, are going to be leaving Cote d'Ivoire to come back to the U.S. for a year of home assignment. This is when missionaries get to connect with the churches that they are supported by and their families and whatnot. So Larry and Leanne Sellers are going to be back here in the States for a year, starting in May or June when they leave. Bobby and Jenny and Moore are then going to be on their own for that time period. And they're a little anxious about that. Being connected to people, having meaningful relationships is important. Because after all, the Christian life is all about having good, healthy relationships and proclaiming the truth of Christ in any way that we can. The same is true for us. Our lives as followers of Christ depend on us having healthy, vital relationships with each other. None of us can do this alone. And even here today, there may be somebody who feels very much isolated from the people who are sitting around you. It's one thing to be alone, but it's another thing to feel alone. And our lives very much depend on the relationships that we have with each other. Not just the relationships we have with each other, but of course our relationship with God as well. 1 John reminds us that if we claim to have fellowship with God, but continue to walk in darkness, then we lie and the truth is not in us. What John means there is not if the world is gloomy and we say that we're with God, then we're lying. That's not it. If we walk in darkness, meaning if we persist in paths of sinfulness, if we do things that we know God disapproves of, knowing that this is inappropriate for how a Christian should live, and yet claim to be a Christ follower, then we're lying and the truth is not in us. Because God does not lie. And if we say that God lives in us, but are living in ways that are opposed to his laws and his life, then it's not just that we are lying, John says. It's that we're making God out to be a liar, which is even worse. Because God has claimed us. If we have accepted Christ, God has made us his own. And then if we go back on that deal, God is still saying, you're my own, but you're doing something different. And now it's not we who are doing the wrong. It's God who's lying. And that's terrible to do. Jesus died to remove sins from us and to make fellowship for us. Fellowship with him and fellowship with each other. And a life of sinfulness makes a mockery of what God says, that we are his. We are made whole. It is because of our relationship with God that we can have relationships with each other that are healthy and vital and real, whether they're here local with us or even distant in other parts of the state or nation or even around the world. It is our unity in Christ, our unity in his love, that proves that he is true. Being Christ, being a Christ follower, I should say, is not just about having the right friends, though. It's also has a different dimension to it. Proclaiming the truth of Christ. Being a Christian is not just about having the healthiest relationships in the world. It has something to do with proclaiming what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have experienced of the life of Christ. Now, we here today in 2015 have not experienced Christ in the first-hand sense that John did, the author of 1 John. He was one of the disciples of Jesus and was right there with him, of course. So when he says, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have touched, of course he's talking about Jesus in the flesh, and right there, we haven't had that experience firsthand like that, but we still have a strong obligation to speak about what we have experienced. The transformation of Jesus Christ in our lives, the process of becoming a Christian and learning to wrestle with the issues of life because of the presence of his Spirit in our lives. We have that obligation to speak about that too. To speak about eternal life, to speak about this with others so that they might have fellowship as well. Fellowship with God, fellowship with us. Because when others join the kingdom of God, then our joy is made complete. When others grow in their relationships with God and with each other, then our hearts can become full. Because after all, the Christian life is all about healthy, vital relationships with others and proclaiming the truth of Christ to those around us. We are on the same mission as Bobby and Jenny Miesel in Côte d'Ivoire. They have given everything they have to move to a different land and are proclaiming Christ in a foreign place. But we too are missionaries just on the same mission as they are, to proclaim Christ here as home missionaries. Because all Christians are called to that work. When you think of the flag of the Ivory Coast, it's orange and white and green. When you think of that part of Africa, remember to pray for them. Remember to pray for Bobby and Jenny and more, Miso. If you are so led to want to communicate with them, there are ways we can do that. They email, they do Facebook, they even will Skype with you if you're so inclined. They would love to hear from you and to know about our support of them in their ministry. Supporting the Miesels through prayer, through communicating with them, sending them cards or letters, even sending them finances as we do as a church. These are tangible ways for us to put 1 John 1 into practice. What we have seen, we proclaim. What we have experienced, we share. And we do this to make our joy complete. So I encourage you to stay connected with the Miesels in one way or another, even if it's just in your own prayer life. How we participate in each other's lives in the meantime, not just the Miesels, but the people sitting next to you here. How we participate in each other's lives is another way that we can walk in the light. Remember, none of us is a solo Christian. Each of us needs to be fed by others, and each of us needs to feed others. I was encouraged by our communication with the Miesels. I was encouraged by what's going on there and the ways that they're ministering and the ways that they're growing and being used by the Lord. It wasn't just, hey, by the way, we're praying for you over there. It fed back across the airwaves or whatever it is that we use, the internet. We feed each other. We minister to each other. But the starting point of it all is our relationship with the Lord. John's call echoes through the ages. Let us walk in the light as he is in the light. Confess your sins to the Lord and receive his forgiveness, and make your joy complete by growing intentionally in relationship with God, in relationship with each other, and even with the Miesels in another part of the world. The video clip that I'd like to show you as we close is toward the end of our conversation. I asked the Miesels how we can pray for them and if there's something that they would like to communicate to us as a congregation. And the video, though, sometimes the words are a little bit muddled and whatnot. The recording wasn't necessarily the best. You'll be able to pick up most of it, and I've added captions for the important parts, so you'll be able to read some of the words too. So let's listen into this conversation with Bobby and Jenny Meisel. Karen, would you?
But I just have a couple other questions for you. Number one, how can we best pray for you? And then, I mean, I know in your monthly newsletters you're always giving prayer requests, so that's two, but if you want to kind of summarize that or different. And then number two, is there something you'd like to say to the Not Really congregation? In particular.
What was your second question? You cut out for a second.
Oh, sorry. Is there something you'd like to say to the Mount Haley congregation in particular? Mm-hmm. Message for them, not just for them. Any thoughts about it?
Prayer request.
Well, I think right now, of course, I think we understand a lot more French, the Ivorian French. I'll say at least 80% to 85%.
Okay.
And just to be more, to have a good relationship with the people here, to get to know a lot more people and to build that relationship. I think we will be traveling. This month of April is going to be a very busy month. We have the GA, General Assembly, and I think the director of Global Missions is coming, and the regional coordinators and stuff, and we'll be traveling to the north as well. And so just to have safe travels, and to be safe, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the election coming up, things start to heat up, so safety in that area, and then just health. It seems like it's a lot easier to get sick here, although we've been pretty healthy so far, so we're really glad for that, and also for more.
Yeah.
He's been healthy, so that's been a real blessing.
That's
been good.
Yeah.
So
the election is going to be October, November?
Yeah, it'll be in the fall.
Yeah.
In the fall.
Which will be the exact date.
Yeah. We'll find out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And as far as a message, we definitely want to say thank you to you and the congregation. It really makes a big difference being able to be here and know that there are faithful people behind us, not just giving financially, but also praying. That makes a difference on a daily basis. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. And it was quite a journey getting here, God has been faithful, and to see it, to have people who are faithful, doing what the Lord has called, by praying for us and by even supporting financially. And so, we thank you for that. Yeah.
Remember to pray for the measles. They're good folks, and they're doing the Lord's work over there. If you'd like to communicate with them more, just let me know. I can give you some more information about how to do that. Would you join me in prayer? Lord our God, we pray that your light would enter our lives more and more fully every day, that any sinfulness that we have harbored in our hearts, we would confess to you now, and would receive your forgiveness for. Any darkness, any gloom, any despair that is in our lives would be washed away by the light of your love. Life is hard for many of us, we know. But in your love, there is a way through. For the measles, Lord, we pray that your light would shine in them as they travel to and from different places in the Ivory Coast, and as they get to know people. We pray that you would raise them up, give them healthy relationships and a sense of stability and encouragement as they do the work that you have called them to do. And in all of our ways, Lord, we pray that you would be put first, that there would be no question in our mind about who you are and who we are in relationship with you, but that we would find ourselves with opportunities to be encouraged by others and to be an encouragement to others, so that the light of Christ might spread through our world more and more every day. We give you thanks for the measles and for your word and for all the ways that you provide for us. And we look forward to what you will do in the days that yet lie ahead. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.